So if there's any additional rock climbers, so any kids, kindergarten through sixth grade, you guys can, you're dismissed to go to your class. I saw most of them left there. Let's say hello to everyone on the internet that's not with us right now. Hi, guys, girls. Excited about when we're all together in one place. So that'll be really great. Look at all these faces. And shout out to Josh and Jackie in the back on the prayer wall there. Do you say that anymore? Can you say shout out to someone? Is that like, does that mean I'm like out of touch? I probably am. But hey, just wanted to point that out to you because prayer is so important. And so any point in time, like the Lord, the Holy Spirit is working on you and you'd love someone to pray with. I know while I'm speaking, it's hard to interrupt me, but they're here as well to pray with you. To be there with you, whether it's during the sermon, during any type of the music with the praise of God, or at the end of any sermon, they're here each week, kind of a prayer ministry, okay, that's available to you. Also, just a couple things, guys. If, you know, worship through giving, we don't pass a basket, that's done in these baskets. Prayer request cards in the chair, so if you have a prayer, you can fill those out and put it in one of these baskets, and we'll be praying for you, okay? Speaking of prayer, let's get started that way. Lord, Jesus, we love you. Father God, thank you for your great power, your great authority, your great goodness. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give me the words that you once spoke to these men and these women who you love, who you knit together in their mother's wombs. You know them more than anyone knows them, and you love them more than anyone loves them, and we just proclaim that truth. It's just, we just sang it, that your blood is available to cleanse us from everything, every wrong, every sin, every falling short of what God designed us to be. And not only will you cleanse us, but you'll put your Spirit in us to guide us. And so we just praise you for that, Lord. Amazing. Amazing. We love you, Lord. Amen. Grab your Bibles, and it's super important. I know it's like becomes habitual because I just say that. But if you grab your Bibles, here's one thing that's on my heart. If you want to, where is this dude coming from? It's this. Most people who would say, I believe in Jesus, do so because they filled their mind with things that people told them about him. Let me give you an example. You ever heard of the prayer called the sinner's prayer? Do you know which chapter and verse in the Bible that's from? It's not in there, okay? It's not evil, okay, in itself. But if you simply, even me, as much as I want to try, if the only bit of truth you get is the things that come from me, beware, okay? Because I'm a mess, okay? So, and I'm a man, and at best, we're in 1 John, which is a letter from John, the guy who walked with Jesus, knew Jesus, to these early believers. It's a letter, and so I'm doing it a disservice by only covering, what, 9 verses here? And that's a big chunk for a Sunday morning. I'm doing it a big disservice because this is in the context of a great letter. And if you don't go home and ever read this thing and you only listen to me, then you're going to be like one of those people. It's like, you know, the Bible says cleanliness is next to godliness. No, it doesn't say that. Oh, you know, the Bible, and, you know, it says, The sinner's prayer doesn't say that. It doesn't mean cleaning's wrong or saying the prayer that you're all like, oh, dang, I said that prayer. What did I commit to? No, it's okay, okay? It's okay. We do a lot of things. Like even our communion, Jesus crackers and grape juice is not what the Bible says, okay? And that's where we came from last week was this cosmos, the world systems at play. Even in this building, this is a world system. This was not... The prayer wall was not lined up. The offering baskets was not lined up and laid out by Jesus for us to do. This is what we pray that we're listening to the Spirit of God and we're trying to create a place of praise and worship for God's people in Prescott Valley, us and 147 other people right now. So we have to humble ourselves and be aware of this cosmos, this system that we've entered into, and some of these are God's systems, and some of them are not. And so John in context. This is all the context I'm going to give you. John is saying in this section of scripture, he's been talking about the world. Like, be careful of the world systems that are in play, because Jesus never asked God to take you out of it, but to protect you from being wrecked by it and being so transformed to it that no one could tell that you belong to Jesus. Fair enough? So now we pick up verse 18, 1 John 2, verse 18. It starts like this. It says, children. Okay, pause a second. A couple weeks ago, we talked about stages of spiritual maturity, right? And there was two children words in there. And one children word was actually the Greek word, we translated them both children, but one actually meant student, right? Like, you're being a student. So it's a pupil and teacher relationship. And then one, quite the best translation we have would say half-grown one, child. This word here, children, is half-grown one. Little man, little woman, you're half-grown. So he's saying, guys, listen, I know that you're learning and you're growing. That's the first thing he's saying here. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. Everyone's getting excited because of that word. Now, so many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is in the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you've heard from the beginning abides in you, I can't read this morning, then you too shall abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Okay, that's the section of scripture there. So let's pull out and like unpack this a little bit. So the first line here, he's saying, children, it is the last hour. Okay, we love this. Let me share an observation that God's been really laying on my heart. We love to talk about the end of the world, right? And why is that? Why do you think that is? We know we're going home, right? That's great. There's not wrong answers, so speak up. Why do we love to talk about the end of the world? We know we're going home. What's that? Because evil gets judged, right? You can't wait. Yeah. What else? Why do we love to talk about it? Come on, those are good answers. I'm not saying those aren't right answers. Keep going, though. Come on. What's that? It seems to be current events. Someone else over here said something? We're curious about what's going to happen. Yeah, yeah. But it's fun academically to look at it, miserable to experience it, okay? So this is why, like, we do things like, you know, we watch athletes who haven't had bread in like 7 years because they've got to stay in physical shape to run for 3 hours, right? We watch them play on a TV and we eat the fattiest foods and drink beer and soda with beer bellies and erectile dysfunction commercials playing, right? We love the football, but don't make me run. Because as a matter of fact, I got winded going to get these hot wings, okay? And I say this not to insult you, but if you watch people like we do, right, Brandy, it's funny to watch. It's like I play Call of Duty, but I don't really want to be in the Army because that's hard, right? I watch romance because approaching a woman is hard and dangerous, right? You do these things. We love to watch on the outside, but to experience it is difficult. It takes courage that we often lack. So we love to talk about the end of the world. Why? Because everyone knows. And if you read through the Bible, you'll get this over and over again. Like, everything knows this is jacked. That's my translation. Everything in the world, in the universe, knows it's jacked up. Everything, creation, all that was originally created is passing away. It's out of whack. It's destroyed. The rocks know it. The birds know it. Your dog whining at the front door knows it. Your body knows it. It's deteriorating. Your marriages, your kids. Like, everything knows this is not good. And creation ended with a naked woman, and God said, okay, finally, it's good now, perfectly good. Since then, it's not good now, okay? This is where we've gone. So we're like, I want it to be good again. This is insane. Can we just get this thing done? That's the one part. The other part is it's nice to know, oh, he's coming back and this will end. And on the other end, if I can just simply just sit here and say full, you know, in full confidence, like, just like I'm watching a game, like, what an idiot. He didn't catch that with one hand as he's falling out of bounds. Like you could do it, Will. Like, come on. So that's what we're doing. Like, oh, all the evil in the world will be judged and destroyed, but I don't want to look at the evil in me. Right? So here's the danger with looking at that. So when I throw out a word like antichrist, everyone's like, oh, yeah, I've been watching videos on that on YouTube. I know you have. But because you send them to me, too. So I'm one to proclaim truth and not distraction of the cosmoses, the Christian-flavored cosmoses of this world. And we're going to come against one right now. So children, half-grown ones, you guys only know in half. Let me speak to you, John says, as an older man who walked with Jesus, who's been through so much, who's seen all my friends die, like die because of what they believed. Not just watch it on TV. They lived it and died for what they believed. He states, it is the last hour. It is the last hour. It's the end times. It's the last days. These phrases, the scripture, if you study that, it'll tell you that just means this is a time between when Jesus came the first time, right? Was killed, rose from the dead, between that and when he's going to come again. Those are the last days. Fascinating enough. And we could just blow our minds with this. If this was about blowing your mind, we could spend time with this. But Matthew 24 says this, and this is, understand, at this point in time, Jesus hasn't been killed or resurrected from the dead or raised to glory with the Father. Okay, so it's a little bit different than this moment, but something remains the same. No one knows when this thing ends except God, the Father. That's what it says. That's what Jesus tells them. Not the angels, not Satan, not you, not the dude on YouTube. They don't know. Jesus didn't know. Because he had to be fully human at the time. And what Jesus did is he spoke in such a way that the people he left were like sitting there like he's coming right back. Like he's using the restroom or something, right? Like he went up on the cloud and they're just sitting there, okay. It's been 5 minutes. And finally angels are like, you got to take off because he's going to come back, but not like right now. This moment. So they live their entire life in that first century, just every day, like, okay, where are you, Jesus? And now 2,000 years later, we don't even do that anymore. We're like, whatever. We bought burial plots because we're so sure we're going to die. It's a different mentality, but fascinating enough is, you know, you start to think about that and things play like if Satan didn't know when it ended, he didn't know that when he killed Jesus, he lost. Not that he thought he was winning, but he actually lost because even him, in all his wisdom, all the angels, they don't know when it's going to end. So we don't, the angels don't, no one knows. So all of us, here's what I've got to give to you, this truth. Do you want to follow Jesus? Then live this way. Live every day like he could come. That's what's being offered to you. Take it or leave it. That's a fact. Like, and I struggle with that because I don't want to be a fool. Kind of like, oh, I don't know, you know. Well, he's going to come tomorrow. Well, I don't think so. All the signs haven't. It doesn't matter. Like, if you get to your death and you're on your deathbed and you're like, dang, I guess I was wrong. He didn't come back before I died. Good for you. That's a win, not a loss. Like everyone else around you should be like, dude, that dude lived every day like Jesus was coming back and he didn't. What a loser, right? That you did good if that's what happens. Because you don't know and you're supposed to live like that. But here is a fact, 1,000 miles per hour death is coming for you if Jesus doesn't first. And it doesn't matter how old you are. Car accidents every week, right? Cancer, suicide, like there's all these things that there isn't a guaranteed time where you're like, ooh, I'm running out of time now because the death age is. It's not the way this works. Your life could end any moment. So even if Jesus doesn't come back, he could call you home any moment. So I don't think I say that enough. So I would encourage you, if you're like, yeah, I want to follow Jesus, then this is what you do. You realize we're in the last hour. And we have been for 2,000 years, maybe two more days, maybe 200,000 more years. I don't know. And you have heard, it goes on to say, that Antichrist is coming. See, here's where that gets really interesting because we hear that, ooh, yeah, Antichrist. Now we're getting excited, right? Because we love this story. We love the dialogue about this. It's fascinating. Another place in the scripture where this comes from is 2 Thessalonians verses 1 through 4. So if you're taking notes, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 4. Verse 1 says this, "Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter that seems to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way. For that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first. And the man of lawlessness," which is the people who study the scriptures believe that phrase, the man of lawlessness, is also the same person that John refers to as Antichrist. That the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Interesting, when he talks about that, sometimes when I think about it the way that other people talk about it, it makes it sound like it's a religious leader gone awry. That's not what this sounds like, right? If you read that again, this is a man who puts himself over and in place of every God. Every God, like little g God, including ours, the big G God. Like, so when you read that, once again, you've got to decide for yourself, like, what does that mean? But obviously, we're just like, oh, I've been told it's this person, so I'm waiting for it to be this president of this or this leader of this church or this. Those are what people tell you. This is what the scripture says. Is as much as we get excited about the word Antichrist, it's only in 1 and 2 John. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. But we've taken that word and we've made it a whole exciting thing to watch and talk about, right? So the word Antichrist, I'm not going to try to say the Greek because I don't go enough, okay? I don't know how to do that right. But the word here, once again, it describes something, right? And if a word describes something, what's the language term for it? An adjective, right? So we've made it a noun, a person's name, but really the word they're using here is an adjective to describe that type of person. This person, this man of lawlessness, this son of destruction, John is referring to him as Antichrist. This is what he's about. And that can mean either against Christ or instead of Christ, or perhaps combining the two. One who, assuming the guise of Christ, opposes Christ. And the word is only used 4 times in the scripture that we're translating, and that's in 1 and 2 John. Other places we're tying in Revelation, we're tying other descriptive words that are more nouns to this adjective. If you're familiar, and I'm not going to go into a full study of that today, but the truth is there's this deception coming, and it's already here. So, okay, if it says that in John, who is the Antichrist? What is the Antichrist? Here's the question you should be asking yourself. Well, John actually tells us a little bit about this Antichrist that he's talking about. He said, this is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. That's 1 John 2:22. If we were to fast forward into 1 John 4, verse 3, he would say the Antichrist is who does not confess Jesus. And in 2 John 1:7, he would say, and he does not confess Jesus as coming in the flesh. So this person who's gained power, who's gained authority, is going to renounce all these things, reject, refuse, all of these things. Yeah. There you go. Orion just said here, that describes a lot of people. True, exactly true. That's why what you began to say is like, whoever is acting as an antichrist, he says antichrist, not the. See that we put that there, because once you put the, it becomes a title. Do you see that? Remember we talked about baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's become a theology and a doctrine because we put the in front of it. The scripture didn't do that. Like we did that. It says baptized by the Holy Spirit as an action, not a thing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Very different. When that man of lawlessness comes, Antichrist, the guy pretending to be Jesus, not the Antichrist, a title. Very different. So what it's saying is that there's going to be Antichrist, but there's already been Antichrists, people who have been opposing Jesus. And you can tell who Antichrist is by the way that they deny is the word that it uses. Deny Jesus and the Father, or deny that Jesus is Lord, or deny that Jesus is God come in the flesh. The word here, I'm going to go back to that because I think these words are important. I want to get back to these definitions. Guys, thanks for bearing with me. I just got to lay a lot here before we just go into it. Otherwise, we're going to lose it, okay? So here's the next thing I want to give to you. This word denies, a better translation might be refuse. Because it's to deny, to renounce, to reject. In the late Greek, it came to signify to refuse to acknowledge, to disown, and translated to refuse or to contradict. So basically what he's saying is there's going to be this antichrist, this person in power who's going to refuse, reject Jesus as the Messiah. And as a matter of fact, he's going to even claim to have those levels of powers and to contradict and to impose himself as God in place of the God that we know is true. But also, there's been people, many people already and people now who are refusing and rejecting and contradicting God. And therein lies what? Religious-flavored cosmos we have. That's the danger. They come in place of truth, twist it, just like Satan did in the very beginning, and lead you astray. So John's like, be aware of this. So that tells us what? That was going on even then. Right? It had been some time. It's the first century. They started getting a little older. All the guys who walked with Jesus but John were dead. They probably started thinking, is he really coming back? They probably started relying on their own wits and wisdom and abilities to survive because they wondered if Jesus really was coming back or he's probably not going to come back yet. And they started to do the same things that we're doing now. So now, as you said about this, Orion, so now many antichrists have come, he says. So many have come that are against or oppose Christ. So asking the Lord, what do you want me to share with this? Teach us. Holy Spirit, teach us. Well, like you just observed, man, that could be said of a lot of us. If you just want to go back away from the Antichrist title to the adjective describing what they're doing or the verb form of that, which you can find a verb form, which is you're doing, rejecting, refusing to acknowledge. It can be both of those forms. This language we're translating from is so amazing, and ours is more confusing and diluted. That's why we have to go back to these original terms. You can see that could refer to so many people who refuse and reject. So first of all, one thing he was talking about here is others who reject Christ. He goes on in this. In verse 19, it says, they went out from us, people, but they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. Right? There was people in their midst, in their fellowship, who they thought believed. But then they left, they gave up, they quit, they went away. And when they went away, that should tell you they really didn't believe. It didn't really penetrate their heart. They really weren't of us. They refused, they rejected Christ. And to call them like antichrist or opposed to Christ, that's strong words, right, in our English language. But that's exactly what he's saying. Here's what I've observed. Do you understand that our faith is one that should be transforming us? Okay? You should change. You should change. When Jesus came, he encountered people who didn't change. They followed rules, and they're like, every day I just follow these rules. Okay, that's cool, but are you learning, growing, changing? Is your heart, is the center of you changing and changing who you are? And they're like, no, change, we don't do that. We're just this way since birth. I've been a Pharisee and I've been a law keeper and I've been, you know, a chosen. I'm just birthed into this generation from this lineage, and now I'm God's chosen people. And Jesus is like, wait, like I'm coming, right, to fulfill that law, but also to free you from the captivity of an unchanging heart. So you're supposed to change and I'm supposed to change. So if you're going to change, you're going to have to receive new things that you didn't have before. Can you follow the logic in that? If I'm going to change, I'm going to have to learn or realize something new I didn't realize before. Here's a simple example. Was there things that you would enjoy to eat when you were a child that you no longer eat and you no longer enjoy? You got new information or a change of your mind that you're like, well, maybe SpaghettiOs don't taste that good because as I got 30, they made my stomach sick, even with crunched up tortilla chips, right? You loved ramen in college, but now it gives you heartburn. Like, you are changing over time. So there has to be something new that penetrates. I know some adults are like, I still love SpaghettiOs. I'm not speaking against it. I'm just saying there's an example talking to people, okay? So with that, you're gonna have to get new ideas. So what I've found in the church is like you're given a system in a way no different than Jesus's time. I grew up in a church and this is what you do and this is what we always do. And I see this here all the time. Everyone comes, right, to this church from another church, and they come here because they don't like the church they came from or something went wrong. And then they want this church to be just like their other church, right? Or it's like the people that moved to our state from another state because they didn't like that state. And then they're like, what you need is exactly all the same things we had at that state, right? And you laugh at yourself because you did it. Yeah, so this is how that works. But you're supposed to change, supposed to get new information. But sometimes we don't like that. And so in the Christian world, what it looks like is, I don't know. This is new and different. I haven't heard someone say this before. False teacher, false prophet. You get the pitchforks and the torches and you want to light them up, right? Or it's like everything new is good. Both of those approaches are really wrong, okay? They're dangerous. They're dangerous because yes, there are people who could be trying to deceive you. But there's also things that God is teaching you and opening your hearts up to. Anyone who you've seen grow in their faith will have that. Like, man, I got a little bit to start with, and then I got more, and I got more. And Jesus says, when we see him face to face, then we'll have it all. Until then, it's part at best. So you better get new things. So, well, how in the world do we take on new things but be cautious of being deceived? How in the world do we walk this out? It's got to be spiritual, you said? Scriptural, okay. Scriptural. That is a great starting point. So let's do that exact thing here. Matthew was in the book of Matthew, Jesus was explaining about false teachers and prophets and giving them a warning to watch out for them. And this is Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20, if you're making a note. He said this, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, which is an N-word. They look like a Christian, right? But inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. So Jesus is telling you, watch. Watch the people that you're following, okay? Watch the people who are saying, come on, let's go this way. Watch them. There's a patience involved in this that we're not comfortable with. We want to know right away. But the scripture also tells us to guard our hearts because from it flow the wellspring of life, right? So you guard your hearts when you see a new thing. You don't get the pitchfork and the torch, but you don't just go, ah, yeah, this is great, right? Like, you have to, you know, worship God in spirit and truth. So truth you can get from the scripture and truth from the spirit. But it takes a patience to watch the fruit. And this is why it's extremely difficult to do what Ross does or to do what I do or everyone else here in the church that's taken different leadership roles. The more you get into leadership, everything about you, everything that you do and your overall wellness, that's the most important thing. Your giftedness, your talent, everything else becomes secondary because ultimately the fruit of your life has to be such. And anyone who's been in those type of positions, right, Ross, don't you feel this, man? Like, you step up to do this stuff, you cut yourself open, right? With the Spirit just lays you open and shows you, man, you got to get this right because you got to be producing fruit. I've got some young apple trees at my house. I've never got an apple off them. I'm thinking I probably shouldn't call them an apple tree because until they bear fruit of an apple, are they even an apple tree, right? Until you bear fruit as a follower of God, are you even a follower of God? Or are you simply about to be a person who walked away? So God uses this. Here's another idea. I'm giving you guys a lot, man. I'm sorry. You might have to watch this again, but I can't cut this short. A lot of times, God works through people. He speaks through them. A lot of times, Satan and darkness works through people. We hurt each other. We're great tools. We're like the pawns, right? We inflict this damage and we bless at the same time. And it's a big responsibility. So have you ever heard this story? It's in Acts 5. The disciples are seeing healing and they're teaching, and the religious folk are getting really upset, and the Pharisees and scribes, like, we got to do something about it. So they get the government to lock them up in jail. And that night, an angel opens the gates of the jail and tells them, not go home or run away. He's like, go back out into the courtyard and then share about Jesus. So they go. So in the morning, everyone at the jail is like, what happened to them? And they go out. They're like, oh, they probably ran away. Nope. They go outside and there they are, like, talking about Jesus. So they arrest him and they bring him before the council and they're like, what are we going to do with him, man? We got to kill him or lock him up. Well, there was this wise man, right, a teacher. As a matter of fact, based on what we see in other parts of the scripture, he was a teacher for Paul, or Saul, who became Paul. And this guy, the Prescott Valley way for me to say his name is Gamaliel, okay? And Gamaliel was pretty wise, and he chimed up and he gave him this kind of like, brothers, listen. See, he got this patience thing. He says, you know, we've had this revolt and this person died and this revolt and this person died. And then he goes on to say this, though. He says, keep away from these men and let them alone. Keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow it. You might even be found opposing God. See, once again, guys, back to that. We love watching the other people, right? Yeah, I'm glad you don't eat carbs so I can watch you play your sports or be in a movie, right, with six-pack abs. And then you wonder why your husband or boyfriend doesn't have those. You like that, but you don't want to join 6 hours in the gym and just eating salad every day, right? So we love to do that. That's this. When it comes to false teaching, being opposing to God, being against God. We just love to get our pitchforks and our torches and go after them. But ultimately, the advice of the scripture, the advice of God over time is like, wait. When you see something, because I do too, I see these things, right? You see these things welling up, and you want to get your pitchfork, you ultimately have to say, okay, Lord, is this from you? Is this from you? And the other piece of that is time will reveal. Time will reveal. And by no means, don't take this to the extreme. We'll say and be passive. Everything's okay. Everything is not okay. But I can't control them. I can't control other people on the outside. And I think we see this play out because we see these failings of different groups and we see these movements that come and they go. And you've seen this, some of you guys in your lifetime, there was this movement and God seemed to use that because why? Not because the movement maybe was right, but because people's hearts surrendered to God. And God will use everything, all the cosmoses we can come up with at time to get his work done. So when I talk to a group of people who at least, okay, there's the lost people who've got no idea even who Jesus is, and then there's the lost sheep who are the people who might have known or heard, but they've walked away for whatever reason. And then there's the people abiding and walking in it, the sheep that haven't wandered away, that are still being shepherded by God. And in this room are probably all three. But I need to talk to you, lost sheep, who you know, but for some reason you've wandered away. And I need to talk to those lost who've never been told. And I need to talk to those who are walking with the shepherd to keep listening to his voice and not pick up the pitchforks against the other sheep. All of us have this in common. We've got to address the opposition and refusal in you, in me. Because you'll know in some time the people around you, whether they really mean it, whether they really believe, whether they'll really stay. Like Pastor Wade said this to me when I came in and we transitioned. And he's like, you know, Will, people, you'll hurt each other. We all got issues. It's a mess. But ultimately, the people that you hurt or hurt you and you offer forgiveness and you bounce back, those are the people to build a life with. Those are people to build a life with. Opposition and refusal of you. John talked about this too. He said in verse 20, but you have been anointed. Charisma, which is this idea of it's this anointing. I mean, if I, like oil, and I think that's it. It's this idea that it represents the Holy Spirit, but it shows you the pathway of the Holy Spirit. They would anoint someone's head, and if you've ever messed with any type of oil, right, what you would see is it comes from the outside, and it starts, and it impacts you at a certain place, and it absorbs. And you have to be careful sometimes what oils you put in because it does absorb into your system. But also, right, there's this new cosmos out here of what all essential oils can do. And they're finding stuff that works. Right? I put this here and it makes my headache go away or my stomach ache because it starts on the outside and it goes in and it changes the inside. And he's saying, I know this is all going on, guys, girls, but don't forget you have been anointed. You've been smeared. You've been with the oil, which is the Holy Spirit. And it is maybe it hasn't gotten all the way through to perfect you, but it's working its way in. You've been anointed by the Holy One. And because of that, you have access to all knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is in the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And in this, oh, and this is the promise that he's made to us, eternal life. And then it skips a little bit. And anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. A lot of words. Well, I know. And it, you know, it's so hard to explain because we're talking about something spiritual. But you know this. It said right here, I write to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know it. And I see this over and over again, guys. In the culture, I get it. I grew up in the church, and we're far from perfect. We're far from perfect, but I've got to tell you, you know what's true, and you know what's good. Well, the church didn't tell me, so I didn't. You know. Come on, read all the scripture. You just know. You know what you're doing isn't right, but you want to do it anyway. You know that God says a different way, but you're just tired of waiting, and so you'll shortcut it. Like, you know. And so he's exhorting you, and I have to join you in this, exhorting you, like, listen, guys, you want to read the stories about the Antichrist. You want to read the stories about other people who are rejecting or refusing God. But the problem is not that. It's that so many Antichrists have come, and so many Antichrists I'm writing to right now, those who are refusing or denying God's way. And then you know what's happening? We're only giving half truth. So there's a whole section of population in churches who really are lost sheep. And I know because I was one. Because you get disenchanted with the half-truths you've been given. And then you see the rhetoric around there. And people are talking about sordid sins in the world. Well, I didn't know that that was wrong. You knew that it was wrong. Well, the pastor didn't like tell me. You can't. You know. We've got to be honest. Remember what you learned at the beginning. Getting smarter about the Bible isn't what saves you. Being more dependent on Christ day in day sanctifies you, changes you from the inside, receiving the anointing of the Holy Spirit, right? And it's not what you think. It's not, no, it's like, it can do whatever he wants, right? But it's this anointing like oil. I mean, try that. Get some oil and just put it on your skin and watch. It starts at the outside and it works its way in. And so I see this and he's like, you might be refusing, but go back to what you first knew. Go back to what you first knew in the beginning. See, here's the most important thing. You and I, okay, this is what's good news. What's good news is even though you and I in no way, no how, never will be able to be perfect in our own action. Just won't. The circumstances, it's not even necessarily your fault, I'll tell you. The circumstances makes it impossible because there's a collision of a million different people sin around you, creation dying, and then the selfishness in your heart. Like, it's going to come for you. You're going to do the wrong thing at some point in time. Well, this is really good news. No, why it becomes good news is because God knew that from the beginning, guys, and he took the form of man to come here and be nothing. Be nothing. According to what the Bible says, when it was all said and done, he died, and like 120 people were kind of like hanging out afterwards, like, okay, was that real or what? Like, that's after all of that, raising people from the dead, feeding 5,000, like 120 were there and didn't go away. My family's invested a lot in this community, and any one of us dies, there's definitely going to be more than 120 people there. So Jesus gave up more of the deserved blessing than he has than I've had to. If I keep going in ministry and talking like this, maybe it will be like 10 people there, right? They'll get tired of me, which is fine, okay, because I can join the Lord. But you're probably the same thing. The investments of your life, you want to leave a legacy. And Jesus did, but not in the way that you would have thought. Because he gave up everything for you. And it's such so that right now, in any moment, his salvation can come for you. Like, any moment. any moment. It can come for you. And even what you did this morning, what you thought this morning, like when you stop, when you surrender, I'm going to skip that. The refusal of Jesus in me, we're going to skip that too. First step, you need to surrender. That's what it is. Jesus will cover, take care of, pay for, like any sin. And I know because he's done it for me. And when you come before the Lord in the darkest hour, when you've done something horrible, when you've said something horrible, when you really blew it, like Jesus will say this to you. He'll be like, stop, right? Stop, hold on a second. Quit condemning yourself like he did to the woman caught in adultery. Stop a second. Like this is the work of Satan, right? This is not my work. You're already on your knees. You already know you've made a mistake. Now stop. Surrender. Okay, Lord. Whatever it is I was doing, I'm stopping it and I'm surrendering it. It is good. Your sins are forgiven. And then this is, in that story it didn't go like this, but in my story and yours it goes like this. I don't know, that seems like a cop-out. That's easy, right? And I've had Jesus say to me, like, dude, before I was killed, I sweated blood. When I died, my heart exploded. Like, I've seen people die in my profession. Quite a few people die, and some of it's horrendous. Like, awful, okay? And then some of it's beautiful. But I never saw someone's heart explode. But Will, I did this with my sexuality or my money or I did drugs or I left my kids or I know. Stop though. Stop. Quit refusing to accept Jesus. Don't become an anti-Christ. One who opposes Jesus, but one who accepts and receives Jesus and receives his instruction to stop, don't do that again, right? Stop, sin no more. Okay, now what? Now tell everyone what I did. Well, how am I going to do it? Well, how am I going to know? That's where we get back to this. Here's the other part of the offer. He goes, this is great news. This is really great news. John 14:26. Jesus says, you know, I've got to go. In context, he's telling the guys, his buddies he's hanging out with, I know I was like feeding you when there was no food and raising people from the dead and calming storms, but there's something better coming, okay? Something better coming. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. And we're going to talk more about false teaching as we go on in John. But this part right here, I need to tell you, because what John is saying is like, guys, there is a lot of false teaching. And there's lots of antichrists. You're going to see them come. You're going to see them go. You're going to see people come into the faith and leave the faith. And you're going to want to kind of judge that. But he's like, you'll know that they weren't serious when they leave. But you've been anointed with the Holy Spirit. You've been smeared. You've been given the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit will teach you everything, and he'll remind you of everything I've already taught you, and that shows up like this. Get reminded. Get reminded of what you knew at first. Get reminded of what you've done at first, and receive everything that's new. You see that? Get reminded. And from this, the Lord will just speak to you, right? He'll speak to you. If you have a heart that listens, he will teach you and you'll begin to see things. You'll see what's true and what's false. And when you see false, you'll just be like, I see that's false. And anyone who asks you, you'll be able to say, not true. But you'll know that the time will come that will fade. So what do you want me to do, Will? Well, here's what I've been praying for you guys, praying for myself. It's this. I want to be a people who I just want to be really honest with you, okay? From here out, not that I wasn't before, but we're often not honest with ourselves, right? We're not so open. We're like kind of transparent, but not really. And what I see here is in order for everything out there to change, it starts with us. And even more intimately, it starts with you. And so be aware. Be aware, and I'm going to be bold and strong when you bring me these Christ-flavored cosmoses to call you into question. I'm thinking about making stickers, actually. I've been talking to Brandy about that. What if we made stickers? That's true. Or like, true that, because that'd be even funnier. Or that's a lie. And then just go around and all the things that you see and be like, you know, you feel that. You're like, you see one of those signs at the Christian store, and it says something ridiculous that has nothing to do with the scripture. And you're like, that's a lie. Put that on there, right? And then there's all these like, the universe is going to help you. That's a lie, right? And then they're like, well, hey, surrender to God. True that, right? Set the sticker there to help the world know, but that's not my job. You come to me and you ask, I got to be honest. And then every Sunday, hopefully the Lord will have me speak truth to you in which you'll go home, you'll take in, you'll chew on, you'll meditate on, and you'll change. Change. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Become less and less of this world and more of the coming kingdom. And then everywhere you go, your workout class, the restaurants that you frequent, you'll be a light into the world. So we're going to have the worship team come up, have the lights go down. No manipulation, just opportunity. And what I'm going to pray is, now that I've reminded you of this, I've reminded you that there's a tendency in all of us to reject or oppose what God's saying because it's hard, and a tendency for us to want to watch this play out and talk about what if instead of experience. So the invitation to you is this: surrender. Surrender. Wherever you're at, whatever it is, that's like the next hurdle. Maybe it's the first hurdle. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus. Surrender. Don't oppose him. Surrender. Maybe you've been like a Christian for 60 years, but like you're holding out still. Surrender. Don't be found opposing God. Don't be found opposing Jesus. I can't do it for you. There's not a song that you can sing that can do it for you. Hopefully we can help. But don't oppose Jesus. Let that anointing just soak in, right? And fill you up. I mean, it's a mystery just how it works, but you know, the anointing, it just soaks in and fills you up, and you just feel and you know, right, that God's there. And then you get into his word, and then the truth comes, and it begins to take root. And then when the truth takes root, then you change the way you see things. And then pretty soon, you're going to want to get your own stickers to say, well, that's not true, right? That's what happens. Like, that's not true, or wow, that's really true. Okay, let's take it to the Lord. Lord, man, so much, Jesus. I think about that. And it's true, like the world is trying to deceive us. Even Christians are trying to deceive us. Pastors are trying to deceive us. Friends are trying to deceive us. Our own body and emotions are trying to deceive us. What a mess. Man, I wish I had like just advice, but I don't even have advice. I just have a person, which is you. Jesus, you're the first thing we learned and all we need to know. When we came to faith, we just knew about you. God who came to us, who took on all our sin, who took on all our temptation, who took on our hunger and our loneliness and our physical desires and our mental thoughts, who took on death. And your love should just lead us to surrender. And so that's what I pray that we do right now. Holy Spirit, I pray that you, who somehow are in each one of us but surrounding us at the same time, that you would take each one of us where we're at and call us forward to be more and more like you, that you would show us where you're working in our life and call us to surrender. To surrender, to leave it. To take your hand and to walk forward. So Jesus, as we sing this praise, I pray that you would just well up in the hearts of the people who hear your voice, Lord. They would have this time with you. Whether they need to come to me or go to the back, they'd have this time with you to process and to surrender. Jesus, have your way. I pray in your power and in your name.